Welcome friends to Literature Mantra. I am Harsh Singh, and in this audio we will continue our discussion on poetry. In particular, we will discuss the sub-genres or sub-varieties of poetry. Now, you might have already heard about things like epic. We have been reading Mahabharata, Ramayana since childhood, and we all know that it is an example of epic. What is epic? It is just a sub-genre or sub-variety or sub-type of a poem. And usually epics are very long, such as the Mahabharata, Ramayana, Iliad by Homer. Then there is a very old and also anonymous epic called Beowulf in English literature. So after epic, we can have examples like ballad, then elegy, then mock epic, ode, sonnet. So let's discuss this one by one. And along with that, we will also discuss some newer forms, or let's say examples of poems or sub-varieties of poem that have become popular in the modern times and also important from an exam point of view. For example, you might have heard about pattern poetry. This is a form of poetry that has become very popular in modern times. You might have also heard about concrete poetry. What is concrete poetry? Then there is something called haiku. H-A-I-K-U. Haiku. Ye kya hota hai? After that, there is something called villanil. V-I-L-L-A-N-E-L-L-E. Okay, villanil. What is this? Uske baad ek aur bahut famous subtype ya subgenre hai limerick. What is a limerick? L-I-M-E-R-I-C-K. Limerick. So let's discuss this one by one. So what is pattern poetry? P-A-T-T-E-R-N. Pattern poetry. What is it? Basically a kind of poem where the lines are so arranged as to represent a physical object. So instead of the lines being arranged in a normal or a traditional stanza, the stanza or the lines of the stanza will be arranged in such a way that it will appear on paper that it represents some kind of physical object. Now that physical object can be in the form of wings of a bird, or egg, the egg that we eat, then spear, bhala, that spear. And it can be in the form of any pattern or any representation of a physical object. So the aim of pattern poetry is to first arrange the lines to represent a physical object and ultimately to suggest some kind of action, some kind of motion, or some kind of mood, or some kind of feeling through that kind of arrangement of lines and stanzas. Now, examples from the field of literature can be, if we talk about earlier times, then there is a example of the poem called Easter Wings. Okay, Easter Wings by George Herbert. Okay, George Herbert. Then from modern times, there are many poems written by Delane Thomas. Okay, Delane Thomas. And there is a series of 12 pattern poems written by the same writer, Delane Thomas, entitled Vision and Prayer. Okay, Vision and Prayer. This is the title. Now, after that, concrete poetry. So, what is concrete poetry? Now, concrete poetry is a kind of poetry in which the poet's intent or intention is conveyed by graphic patterns of letters, words or symbols. Okay? Graphic patterns. Rather than by the meaning of words in, you know, conventional poetry, it's more of graphic pattern of letters or words. And the writer of concrete poetry uses typeface and other typographical elements in such a way that the chosen units, whether it be punctuation marks, whether it be the letters, or whether it be the words or syllables or the graphic spaces or the space in which the poem is written, all of these tend to form an evocative picture. So all of this brings to mind some kind of mental picture, some kind of thought. And I said that the writer of concrete poetry uses typeface. Okay, typeface. Ye typeface hota kya hai? See, generally this term is used in the field of printing or when we use a computer screen to describe letters and numbers in a particular design. Us cheez ko typeface kehte hain. Now, after understanding the definition of concrete poetry or what exactly concrete poetry is, uske baad aapko janna chahiye ki who started this or who are the people associated with the beginning of concrete poetry. Now, two Brazilian people are there. Their name is very famous. The first is Max Bill. Okay, Max Bill. And the other person is Eugen Gomringer. Okay, Eugen Gomringer. Eugen ki spelling hai E-U-G-E-N and Gomringer G-O-M-R-I-N-G-E-R. Eugen Gomringer. So two people, Max Bill and Eugen Gomringer. And these two people were among the early practitioners of concrete poetry. ठीक है. एंड द इम्पिटस ऑफ राइटिंग कंक्रीट पोएट्री ऑल्सो केम फ्रॉम अदर मूवमेंट्स सच एज डाडा. ओके, DADA सुना होगा आपने, डाडा. देन सरियलिज्म इज देयर. देन सम अदर नॉन रैशनल मूवमेंट्स दैट वर प्रेवलेंट इन द 20th century. सो ऑल ऑफ दीज अदर मूवमेंट्स ऑल्सो इंस्पायर्ड द राइटर्स ऑफ कंक्रीट पोएट्री इन देयर वर्क. And let me tell you few more things, that concrete poetry has an extreme visual bias and in this way is usually distinguished from pattern poetry, because before this I spoke about pattern poetry and concrete poetry attempts to move away from a purely verbal concept of verse towards what its proponents call verbi-voco-visual. Okay, verbi voco visual expression. Now remember this phrase, this is an important phrase, verbi voco voco visual. ठीक है, verbi voco visual expression. Now what is this verbi voco visual expression? Something which incorporates geometric and graphic elements into the poetic act or process. Because normally when we write poetry, it is limited to words, but here we have an example of poetry which is organized in such a way that the visual structure of the stanza, visual structure, not just the words, but the visually the words or the lines are structured, that is what adds to the effect. ठीक है, so concrete poetry often cannot be read aloud to any effect and its essence lies in its appearance on the page, not just in the words or typographic units that form it. ठीक है, now in the field of English literature there are practitioners of concrete poetry. ठीक है, and since the Second World War notable experiments have been made by several British poets such as Simon Cutts. Okay, Simon Cutts, 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 Simon Cutts, उसके बाद Stuart Mills, उसके बाद Dom Sylvester Huidard. Okay, HOUEDARD, Huidard. Okay, Dom Sylvester Huidard, this is a name. Okay, and there is one more practitioner amongst the British poets, it is Ian Hamilton Finlay. Okay, Ian Hamilton Finlay. Finlay की spelling क्या है? FINLAY. ठीक है, these are British practitioners of concrete poetry. And amongst all of these, जो भी चार पांच मैंने नाम बताया आपको, Ian Hamilton Finlay. Okay, Finlay is regarded as one of the best practitioners of concrete poetry. Now, after that, let's move on to other sub-varieties or sub-genres of the poem. For example, as I pointed out, epic. What is epic? Basic definition kya hai? It is a long narrative poem on a grand scale, usually about the deeds of warriors or heroes, and it also incorporates myth, legend, folktale, as well as history. And good examples can be, from India, it can be Mahabharata, Ramayana. From Europe, there is the example of Iliad by Homer, Odyssey. After that, elegy. Now, elegy kya hota hai? E-L-E-G-Y, elegy. Elegy is just a poem of lament. When we lament something or somebody, or a poem of mourning, when we mourn something. Suppose if somebody has passed away. A good example from the field of literature can be the long poem by Alfred Lord Tennyson, In Memoriam. ठीक है, इन मेमोरियम आपने पढ़ा होगा. एंड इन दिस पोएम टेनिसन मॉर्न्स द डेथ ऑफ हिज फ्रेंड आर्थर हेलम. सो दिस इज अ गुड एग्जांपल ऑफ एलिजी. आफ्टर दैट ओड, ओ डी ई, ओड. नाउ ओड क्या होता है? ओड इज अ टाइप ऑफ पोएम, टाइप ऑफ लिरिक पोएम. ठीक है, मोर प्रिसाइसली सेरेमोनियस लिरिक पोएम दैट एड्रेसेज एंड ऑफन सेलिब्रेट्स अ पर्सन और अ प्लेस और अ थिंग और अ आइडिया एंड इट नॉर्मली हैज अ इलेबोरेट स्टैंजा स्ट्रक्चर. उसके बाद इट इज मार्क्ड बाय फॉर्मैलिटी, स्टेटलीनेस इन टोन एंड स्टाइल एंड ऑल्सो लॉफ्टी सेंटिमेंट्स एंड थॉट्स. ठीक है, एंड देर आर टू टाइप्स ऑफ ओड्स, वन इज द ग्रीक और द पिंडारिक ओड, द अदर इज द होरेशियन ओड. एंड व्हाट इज द डिफरेंस बिटवीन पिंडारिक ओड एंड होरेशियन ओड? पिंडारिक ओड में होता क्या था, इट वॉज रिटन टू सेलिब्रेट एथलेटिक विक्ट्रीज इन एंशियंट ग्रीस. ठीक है, इन होरेशियन ओड, जनरली अ होरेशियन ओड इज मोर फिलोसॉफिकल, कॉन्टेम्पलेटिव. So that is the basic difference. Now after this comes ballad, B-A-L-L-A-D, ballad. Ballad hota kya hai? This is also a sub-variety or sub-genre of poem. What kind of poem? Ballad in simple terms is a kind of song, a song that tells a story. ठीक है, so a ballad can be described as a popular narrative song passed down orally, because this is something which is very ancient in origin. बहुत पुराने जमाने से ballad चला आ रहा है. So there are two kinds of ballads. One is the folk ballad or the traditional ballad. The other is the literary ballad, which we find in literature. And folk ballad or traditional ballad mein hota kya hai, that these ballads are anonymous. Who has written these songs or ballads? It is not known. The author is not known or the poet is not known. But when we come to literary ballad, we have the name of the poet. For example, the famous ballad by John Keats, La Belly Dame Sans Mercy. This is the title, La Belly Dame Sans Mercy. And this is a good example of a literary ballad. Now after that comes sonnet. Now sonnet is a very very simple kind of poem. A poem of 14 lines. Okay, 1/4, 14 lines. This is the basic definition of a sonnet. S-O-N-N-E-T, sonnet. And broadly speaking, there are two types of sonnets. One is the Petrarchan sonnet, okay, Petrarchan sonnet, and the other is the Shakespearean sonnet. In dono mein difference kya hai? Both of them have 14 lines. The only difference is that the number of stanzas that are there, theek hai? That is the only difference. Rhyme and stanzas. Now after this, mock epic. So what is a mock epic? Now mock epic is related to the epic genre, but a kind of satire. The topic of the poem is given a satirical treatment in a mock epic. So in a mock epic, the writer or the poet will adapt the style, the heroic style of a classical poem, classical epic poem, to describe some kind of insignificant or trivial subject. Okay, usually what happens is in an epic, heroic deeds are expressed, or it is generally about heroes or great people, right? Epics are like that. But in a mock epic, it is a kind of mockery, a kind of satire. For example, in the field of literature, you know, some of the famous examples can be the long poem by Alexander Pope called The Rape of the Lock. Okay, The Rape of the Lock. Then there is another poem called Mac Flecknoe by John Dryden. So the treatment is very grand. The style is grand. The conventions of epic is used, but the subject matter is trivial. This is what a mock epic poem is. Now after this, haiku. So what is a haiku? H-A-I-K-U. Haiku. See, haiku is a Japanese poetic form. But in recent decades, it has also been used by English poets or British poets as well as American poets. That is why haiku nowadays has become very popular. And the unique thing about haiku is, it is a poem of single stanza and of just three lines. Three lines and one stanza. That is what a haiku is. In the first line, there are five syllables. In the second line, there are seven syllables. And in the third line, again, there is five syllables. So in total, one stanza, three lines, and in total, 17 syllables. That is what a haiku is. And as I said just before that, haiku is a Japanese poetic form, and basically it represents the poet's emotional or spiritual response to a natural object or a scene or season of the year. And in American poetry and in English poetry, mostly it is associated with the movement of imagism. And Ezra Pound is one of the greatest exponents of haiku, as well as the other imagists. And their intention is to reproduce both the brevity and the precision of the image as it is in the Japanese original, the way it is used in Japanese literature. And a famous example of such a kind of poem is In a Station of the Metro. Okay? In a Station of the Metro. This is a poem by Ezra Pound. Now after that, Villanelle. V-I-L-L-A-N-E-L-L-E. Villanelle. Villanelle kya hota hai? It is basically a French verse form consisting of five tercets and a final quatrain. And as I told you, what is a tercet? A stanza of three lines. Okay? So, Villanelle mein, in total there will be six stanzas. The first five stanzas will have three lines each. And the final stanza or the sixth stanza will have four lines. Some examples may be, you know, there is a famous poem, One Art. Okay, this is the title, One Art by Elizabeth Bishop. This is a good example of Villanelle. Uske baad ek aur poem hai by Delane Thomas, which is titled Do Not Go Gentle Into That Good Night. Okay, this is the title. Okay, Do Not Go Gentle Into That Good Night by Delane Thomas. These two poems are good examples of Villanelle. After this, there is something called Limerick. L-I-M-E-R-I-C-K. Limerick. Limerick kya hota hai? Limerick is somewhat similar to haiku in the sense that even in limerick, we just have one stanza, theek hai? But in limerick, we have a five-line stanza. Haiku ke baare mein kya bataya tha maine? That it only has three lines. In limerick, there are five lines. And the rhyme scheme in a limerick is A-A-B-B-A. Okay, A-A-B-B-A. Aur isme ek hi stanza hota hi hai, pure poem mein. And one of the greatest practitioners or exponents of the limerick form is Edward Lear. Okay, Edward Lear. L-E-A-R, Lear. Now, he published a book in 1846 titled Book of Nonsense. Okay, Book of Nonsense. In this, there is a collection of limericks written in English. Okay, the Book of Nonsense. And as the name suggests, what is the purpose of limerick? Basically, it is a light verse form. Light verse or humorous verse. Okay, intended for humor. At times, it is also body and irreverent. Aur body ka kya matlab hota hai? Something which contains humorous or irreverent references to intimate behavior or sexual activity. That is what the meaning of body is. B-A-W-D-Y. Body. So, from an exam point of view, you should know about the different sub-varieties or sub-genres of poem. And in particular, you should know the characteristics of each of these sub-varieties or sub-genres of poem, along with knowing the basic definition. Theek hai?